When you talk about the local food movement to an economist or an economic development team, you're likely to hear the phrase cute to scale. That means up until this point, a lot of the movement has focused on the cute, bucolic farmers markets and high-priced farm-to-table restaurants, leaving the back-end stuff, like distribution and processing, untouched.
It's great to be able to do all that farm-to-table stuff, but now let's figure out how we make it impactful.
That's one of those economic development folks, Josh Burks, economic health director with the city of Fort Collins, Colorado. He wants the city to help make local food more accessible, and he wants it to add jobs and tax revenue to the local economy. To do that, Burks's department is supplying seed money for something called an industry cluster. These clusters help business owners share ideas and facilitate planning. They're part policy council, part think tank, part task force, and part trade association.
We're taking a concept that I think has been successful in more traditional industry areas like technology, apps, or the renewable energy space, and we're trying to apply it to something that is very, very different, a food system.
And because it's very different, forming a food cluster comes with a unique set of challenges.
You know, what I think the cluster wants to do is help organizations like yours stay afloat.
And so, I guess it just hasn't been conveyed enough how you guys are going to be doing.
Well, at an indoor winter farmers market, Ashley Colpart tries to sell the newly formed Northern Colorado food cluster to a prospective member. Colpart is the cluster's coordinator.
Part of the purpose of the cluster is to have dialogue that maybe wouldn't have been had before and talk about the constraints in the food system, but also the opportunities.
Colpart says one of the biggest challenges in growing a food system is lack of communication. Farmers who run small operations rarely have the time to network, and bigger companies don't see the benefit in working with smaller entities. That leads to a food system where only the big companies talk with each other, and vice versa for the small guys, leaving the crucial connections in the middle absent and unformed.
And a lot of the constraints on agriculture is who controls the middle parts of the distribution chain and the processing and manufacturing. All of that's happening by very large companies that are controlling prices and access points.
I don't know that the average person really cares about aggregating and moving produce in big trucks.
Diana Sokolov is with San Francisco's planning department. The city also has a food cluster.
It's kind of an ugly back-end side of the business.
Sokolov says there's real passion for local food, but few people are thinking about the middle, how to make it more profitable for farmers and more accessible for shoppers. That's where cities can come in to identify and fortify clusters. Becca Jablonski is an agricultural economist at Colorado State University.
So I think having some kind of organization that's helping to bring together different constituents who are, you know, all part of the same food system and helping to think through different kinds of opportunities at any scale is really important.
Jablonski says city officials have a vested interest in seeing local food take off to support jobs and feed people. Other local food clusters in cities like Louisville, Kentucky, and Portland, Oregon are also taking shape. But Jablonski says getting the local food movement away from just being cute could mean a shift in what the word local even means.
You know, is it just farms that sell at farmers markets directly to customers that are considered part of the local food system, or are we talking about something much more broad? And I would actually argue that that broader definition is much more useful.
And that broader definition includes the cute parts of the local food system and the businesses that aren't. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.